This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
And Real Ketones Keto Energy Shots.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad you could be with us as we continue along on a Friday on the SportsMap Radio Network. It is Wake Up Call. If you like to hit the show, we'd love to hear from you on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Ben Kercheval is going to join us this hour. We're going to talk some college football with him as they can continue along with the sport. Again, some postponements. That's not unexpected, but the SEC will go into week number two. And then you're getting closer and closer to the start of Big Ten season, Pac-12 season, Mountain West Conference coming back. So Ben Kercheval will help us navigate that. We've got the good, the bad, the dumb also coming up this hour. Major League Baseball whittling down from the wild card round into the divisional series. You know, I enjoyed this wild card round for what it was. I enjoyed that we had a number of series, best of three, until we weeded it down to get to where we would normally be, right? A divisional series with four teams in the American League and four teams in the National League. But I hope Major League Baseball doesn't do this again. I think that there is something to be learned by having some sort of control, putting your hands into the money pot that is postseason. I think the NFL, for example, adding an extra team down the line, fine, I guess, and Major League Baseball wants to give more people interested towards the end of the season. But I also think there is some sacredness that has to go into making a playoff push. If everyone gets in, then nobody really earned their way in, and that's a problem. And I think Major League Baseball is a sport that really values what 162 games are. If in the end you're just going to say two teams from each division plus two extra teams that finished third get into the playoffs, then it devalues what you're selling for 6 months out of the year. 162 games is a lot, but it can't just be a lot because owners want to make money. It has to have value to the fans. And it doesn't have value to the fans if in the end just about everybody gets in. We see it in the NBA all the time where the regular season is just devalued. It doesn't feel like it's important. It doesn't feel like it's worthy because in the end, eight teams from each conference. Football, with its tightness of the postseason race, it's a better formula, and they may go down that same road too. Good, the bad, and the dumb next. We continue with Wake Up Call.
SportsMap Radio Network, we wear Boomer Naturals masks. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com. Use promo code SportsMapRadio for 20% off. Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser!
Brought to you by Real Ketones Keto Energy Shots. Sustained energy without the sugar, jitters, or crash. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, so good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue along on a Friday. So we've reached the end week. That's a good, but maybe not as good as the good of the day. What is that, Mr. Culver?
The good of the day. I might be alone in this.
Okay.
I seriously might be alone in this. I don't know how many fans are out there of this, but I watched it for the first time yesterday. I'm excited for the new Borat movie.
Okay. Go ahead.
I'm alone in this.
You might be.
I don't know why, but I think in the current culture of 2020, this might be the shot in the arm that we need, I guess. I don't know.
I'm going to disagree only because...
That's why I said I prefaced it saying I'm alone in this.
I'm going to disagree because it was funny. It's one of those jokes that's funny the first time. It's funny. It's like, I get it. You find people. But now that we know how these are made, which is he does a ton of these to find the four or five that he can put in the movie.
Right.
It kind of loses its appeal. It's like, I can do that. Anybody can do that. I can take a microphone and find somebody that can do something and make it sound. It's just like Jay Leno on the street, or it's any of these other things.
Yeah.
If I talk to 100 people, I can find 3 people that will say something stupid. Like when they do it, they make it sound like Nobody knows the capital of California, but they found three people out of probably 200 that didn't know, right? It's like, I thought his stuff was really good in the beginning. I just think if this is your only shtick,
I think the reason why they appeal to it, because I'm watching the trailer and I'm like, okay, you know, same old rhetoric. I mean, he's putting on different disguises because he goes with the whole thing that, you know, everyone recognizes me. He has his daughter, in quotations, who's, you know, he's trying to find her a mate in America. But he does crash. I don't think it was the Republican National Convention, but it was definitely a speech where he's yelling at Mike Pence.
Well, hasn't he done that kind of thing before?
No, I'm not saying he hasn't done that kind of thing before. I just don't know why, but I found that very funny. And, like, I'm mildly excited. I guess that's the best way to put it.
All right.
And the other
he's got an audience. I just wish it would be different.
On that same level, and I have yet to see it, but apparently, you know, South Park is still a thing.
Yeah.
You know, obviously we talked about it a couple weeks ago when Denver had the entire town as fans. In their stadium?
Right.
Well, their season premiere was last Wednesday. It was an hour long. I'm planning on watching it this weekend because all I've heard is that it's really funny because they have made a mockery of everything that's been going on in 2020.
Good for them. Good for them.
And they can continue to get away with things that they do is beyond me.
Yeah. I think, you know, I don't know. Adam Carolla had a talk about this on one of his podcasts where he said a guy like Seth MacFarlane and Matt and Trey – there is just so much dough behind what they do that they are just given every single license to continue to do what they do. Whereas if you're a middle of the road comic, if you're the middle of the road TV show, you are expendable. It's like we can get rid of you and not feel the pain, but losing South Park hurts, losing Family Guy hurts. So you give them whatever they want, however they want. You know, it's just like, look, we may not like the approach that they took here, am I like the angle that they did here, but in the end, my God, the money, it's like I can't store it. I'm like Johnny Depp in Blow. There's just not enough shoe boxes to contain all the money that we have.
Don't have a big enough mattress to hide it under.
We don't have a big enough, we need another apartment for the amount of boxes of money that these guys are pouring in to Comedy Central and Fox. So, but yeah, I'm glad they're doing that because you also have a role. I know it's kind of weird. I think it would be a little narcissistic if you kind of really thought about it. But I think those guys realize that they can, because their stuff will live a long time, stand like The Simpsons. You can go back. It's fun to go back in the Simpson archive to be like, what was the things in the 90s that we were liking? Like the things we were dealing with. Like The Simpsons have episodes where you can go back in time and go, this is what technology was like. This is what the world was like. Yeah. When we were all into this and The Simpsons made fun of it.
Or just story that you forgot.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think these guys realize that that's what their product is going to do for history is that, yes, we'll have history like, you know, the newsreels and whatnot, but we'll have these comedy sketches that really talk about what it was like to live in X amount of years, whatever year it is. And 2020 is going to be really important in the history books. And it's nice to have some sort of comedic element to the history of that year.
Well, I think that's the only way we can look at it is comedic. Because, God, it's been a you know what.
Yeah, no kidding. Year. No kidding. That's right. By the way, Sacha Baron Cohen, if you want to see him in a serious role, if you want to see him do some real serious acting, Netflix has got a show. It was a 6-part series called Spy. And he plays an Israeli spy that infiltrated Iran. And it's tense. It's amazing work. He was brilliant. And it's based on a true story. It's based on a true spy. If you like to see what he can do with his dramatic chops, check out Spy. It's really
why
good.
Did I think you were going to go Ricky Bobby on me?
Ah!
His dramatic role.
I thought when somebody told me Sacha Baron Cohen was in Spy, I thought it would be a funny thing.
Yeah.
And I looked into it and I realized, oh no, this isn't funny. This is a true story about a spy who basically, you know, helped Israel in their tense times in the 70s. Yet, you know, it was really dramatic. So he did a really good job. So, all right, what's the bad of the day?
Bad of the day, we got to go to Florida. Usually we're blaming Florida.
We go to Florida a lot for the bad.
You know, Florida man. But this one, it's bad, but you feel really bad for the Florida woman.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
She won the lottery.
She won the lottery. So Florida woman won the lottery.
She won $1,000, right? But okay. That's money. That's decent
nice.
Money.
That's good money.
But because of certain COVID protocols, she wasn't able to go to the claim office and claim it. So she had to mail it in.
Oh.
And she followed all the directions.
Oh, no.
And instead of, you know, she could have just very easily dropped it in and, you know, you drop it in that blue box and you just forget about it. No, she certified and mailed it, too, because she wanted to make
good
sure
for
to
her.
Keep track
good for
on
her.
It.
Yeah.
Post office in Tallahassee lost it.
They lost it?
They lost it. You can find the tracking, and then it reaches the Tallahassee post department.
And then that's
gone.
It. Oh, see?
It disappeared. And because of that, she missed out on her winnings because they, you know, there's a certain amount of days that you have to claim your prize.
And then wow. And now she can't prove that she won the lottery, right?
No. She can prove that she had certified mail.
Right. But that's it. And so even if it turns up, she can't get the prize.
No.
So even if somebody in the Tallahassee office goes, we found this underneath all of these folders. Wow. Unbelievable.
Yep. Or what was the Christmas vacation one? It was wedged in between the seats.
That's right. That's right. You know what's going to happen 20, 30 years from now? We're going to have a story in the news about 75-year-old lotto winner gets ticket back after post office finds it underneath a dumpster.
Yeah.
Like it's going to be found in some crazy file that never got cleaned up for years and years, and somebody's going to pick it up and go, this is from 2020. Think we should send it, find out who this is? And then they find her and they track her down and she gets her $1,000 lottery ticket.
Yeah,
back.
Which by then is like $20.
Right, exactly.
They're like, oh, here's a $1,000 bill.
Exactly.
Sorry for the delay.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I always get nervous when I send things in the mail, and I know I shouldn't because the post office does run pretty good.
Yeah.
But everything that, like, it's, I always, if I send something important, I'm always like, did you get it? Did you get it? Did you get it? Because it's a little scary sometimes.
Well, then you just don't know the timing because sometimes right. it goes faster than it actually should have, or it's slower than it actually should have. And
you ever send a bill in the mail where you think you've bought yourself
anymore.
Some time? Well, I have. Where you buy yourself some time, you think, oh, this will take a couple of days. And for whatever reason, it's like, how did it get there so fast and you cleared it that quickly? It used to be like, okay, I got a couple of days for this. I'm going to put it in the mail. But now you just do everything online and then you don't have to worry about
it. I've
got a pile of stamps in my office and I barely use them. I mean, I must have had these for weeks and I think I've used three.
Hey, they may not be good anymore.
You might have to be doubling up on. That's
no,
right.
I mean, I remember, you know, The thought process was like, hey, if it has the postmark date on the due date, I'm good.
I'm good, yeah.
So I can send it in today.
Exactly.
It'll have the postmark date because it's due today, and that bought me, what, maybe a week, maybe.
Yep, exactly.
Depending on how far I was gone.
All right, what is the dumb of the day?
Well, usually in the dumb of the day, we usually talk about how people are creating new robots that are going to take over the planet, a la Terminator.
Right.
Yeah, well, this time we're gonna highlight a different movie. Scientists have successfully pulled DNA from resin.
From resin?
Yes.
And?
So basically, you know what that
means. Does that
means.
Mean? Yeah,
that
we're going to have Isla Sora there with the
Jurassic Park is around the corner. Now, they claim that they have no interest in raising dinosaurs.
Oh, no, they do. They're saying that today.
They're saying that today, that they're just
not
doing
to get our hopes up.
They're doing it to understand the genetic code, and basically it's all science talk that's just mumbo jumbo, that really what they're in it is like, hey, can we actually bring back an extinct animal?
Exactly. We take the DNA strand from a frog and fill in the code, and voila, a baby dinosaur.
Yeah, their reasoning for doing it says it's an important tool in the identification of species.
Oh, okay.
No, you don't need to identify species.
Real quick, when I saw Jurassic Park, I read the book, and when I read the book, after I saw the movie and I read the book, I thought, now this is young me, where my mind is still like, you can fill it with junk and I'd believe it, right? So I thought to myself, this science makes sense to me. like at whenever, however old I was when this movie came out, but I was, again, I was very young. I was like, I think they could do this. But then I saw that this couldn't happen. But then here we are in 2020, and I guess it can. Well, maybe back in 94, they're like, no, we don't have it. That could never happen. Even if we found a mosquito we can't do it.
Yeah, what they have done is they've taken those certain type of mosquitoes, and then they have kind of encased them themselves or found fresh resin in the island of Madagascar.
Right.
That, you know, is not thousands and thousands, not tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of years old. It's relatively new based on, you know, kind of on the science scale.
Oh, okay.
But I'm doing quotation marks here, is trying to determine is how long that genetic material stored in these insects survives.
Okay. So we may not have dinosaurs.
Not yet. But you know somebody's working on it. They're like, oh, you know what? It starts to deteriorate after X amount of years. Well, right. Let's find a booster for it.
Yeah.
Because that'll be the next step. Because, hey, we have Dolly.
What one
we
thing
call
that,
it a sheep? I remember
that's right.
That
I remember Dolly. That's
that,
right.
Like in the 90s.
It was, yeah, 80s or 90s. Yeah, late 80s, 90s.
So we have the ability to clone animals, and people get their dogs cloned all the time.
Real quick, one thing about Jurassic Park I can never understand in the movie, in that, and John Hammond never really gives an answer to it. In that movie, they go
the flea circus.
No, the flea circus. Yeah, they go, you bred raptors. Like, he never says, yeah, the reason we bred raptors was for X, X, and Y. They just took the most dangerous dinosaur that was around and went, yep, we got them. In fact, you really can't even watch them do anything. They're so dangerous. They have to be in an electric cage, but we made them anyway. Like, well, the T-Rex you can see, but the raptors, forget it. Like that's the one DNA code you throw away and you go, give me the plant-eating stegosaurus.
Yeah,
like,
is it just me? But was that the first time you ever heard of a velociraptor?
Yeah, I never. Growing up as a kid, I learned all of the dinosaurs, and the velociraptor was not one of them.
I never heard of it until that movie.
Never heard of it until
and
that
what
movie.
What if they're not 100%. As vicious as we made them out to be?
That's true. What if they were just big chickens that kind of nipped a little bit, but that was about it?
Yeah.
Instead of tearing your guts out and eating you slowly.
More of a pain, really, than a vicious murderer.
Exactly. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb for your Friday. As we continue, Ben Kercheval will join us later on this hour. We'll get some college football. Speaking of which, some issues in that coming up next on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, don't let a bad battery leave you stranded. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can help test your battery, and they'll do it free of charge if it needs to be replaced. O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery for your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Keep your car on the road by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts, because O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. College football coming up this weekend. Good slate in the SEC, for example. You've got Texas A&M going out to Alabama to take on the Crimson Tide. You've got the Deep South's oldest rivalry when Georgia takes on Auburn, both teams ranked in the top 10. You've got South Carolina and Florida, Will Muschamp returning to Gainesville, where he stunk as a head football coach. Which is fine by me, I guess, as they take on the number 3 Gators. Mississippi State should have no trouble with Arkansas in that air raid offense Mike Leach is pulling off. Bulldogs are ranked 16th. And Kentucky and Ole Miss battling it out in Lexington. Tennessee's won 7 straight going back to last season. SEC off and running. The Mountain West Conference is coming back. They will start up in a couple of weeks. They joined the Big Ten and the Pac-12, canceling their football season due to COVID, and then realizing, whoops, maybe we shouldn't have canceled our season to COVID. So they're coming back. But Air Force is playing this weekend against Navy. It's part of the Commander-in-Chief's Trophy. And we always talk about Army-Navy as one of the, you know, big traditional college football games. It's on a lot of people's bucket list because there's so much incredible pageantry that goes on. It's the last college football game of the season because, like, we've got, you know, the championship games, and then Army Navy kind of gets the stage to itself. It is a fantastic venue. It's a wonderful, wonderful setting for a game with the cadets and, you know, all of that and the midshipmen. But Air Force is also in the mix there. And I was in Colorado Springs for a number of years covering Air Force football and basketball and whatnot. And I got to experience these military games firsthand, and they're fantastic. I mean, they really are. They are different. And it's not like a patriotic thing where you just know that these are the guys that are going to be the future leaders of the country. There's that element to it. But there is something unique about these academies when they play, because they're brothers in the service to the country, but they really go at it when they play against each other. John Feinstein has a very famous line in his book, A Civil War, that talks about Army and Navy. And it's the whole book is really about Army and Navy, but he does bring in Air Force, where he says Army hates Navy, Navy hates Army, but they both hate Air Force. And that's really evident. I mean, the stunts that the academies pull on each other, they're pretty fun. But the one thing that I always liked about every single year Air Force would be hosting either Army or Navy was that the military, the high brass military officials that would come to the games was remarkable. Like, I remember one of my jobs for Air Force football was I did the pregame show from the parking lot. So I had this remote unit that I would have, and I would do the pregame show from the parking lot. And one of the jobs was, like, I would go do the pregame show, but then I would go to different fan zone areas and whatnot. And I remember, like, one year was Navy and it was Army. And I've got my little broadcast unit that we used, and it was kind of wireless and I could carry it around. And there were like four or five of these guards that were around this five-star general. And they had like machine guns and everything. I was walking through the parking lot. And it was like you could feel the largeness of this game, even though, heck, it's not for a national championship. Heck, it's not really for any sort of national presence. It's just because these service academies, they really, really go at each other on the football gridiron, and the Commanders-in-Chief trophy is a big deal. It's funny because for years and years, when Fisher DeBerry was the head coach there, Troy Calhoun taking over Air Force would say kind of the same thing. They treated their season a little differently than Army and Navy. If you went to the head coach at Army or the head coach at Navy, and they would say, list the priorities of the season, both of them would say at the top of their list would be beat Army or beat Navy. Air Force didn't really have that. Air Force's number one goal every year was to win the Commanders in Chief. They are in a conference, right? They're not an independent. They're in a conference. So it never was win a conference. It was always win the Commander in Chief before anything else. They would rather win the Commander-in-Chief's trophy than go to a bowl game. They would rather win the Commander-in-Chief trophies than win the Mountain West Conference. They would rather win that trophy than anything else in the season, because it's that important to the people that play. And when you talk about the recruiting challenges of coaches who are at these service academies, it's kind of, you know, they don't get the best college football players, but they get good football players who know which direction that they want to go in. And it's always fascinating to me when I used to do this pregame show and I would talk to the players and I would say, what brought you to Air Force? What led you to a decision to have a service academy career? Because you have to dedicate a good portion of your early life to the service, and you go to the academy and then you give your service to your country. And so if you have potential to go pro, there's a problem with that. You can, but sometimes you can't, depending on your circumstance. And all of them said the same thing. When push came to shove, they wanted to play college football. The Air Force was, you know, division, you know, Army, the same thing, Division I program, but they also had a desire to serve. So Army's playing Navy this week. Air Force is playing Navy this weekend. And I just thought I would bring that up. Ben Kercheval will join us to talk about the other games that are going on, including Texas. They are ranked ninth in the country in the Big 12. They are going to be in action this weekend. Baylor is on the road at West Virginia. You've got Oklahoma and Oklahoma State back in action in the Big 12. When we get the Big 10 in action, and we get the Pac-12 in action, then we'll have a big, real, real full slate of college games to sort of dissect. But we'll get Ben Kercheval's thoughts coming up as we continue with Wake Up Call. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue along. And we'll get into the college football schedule, again, with Ben Kercheval coming up next.
listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go out to the Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Ben Kirchhoff joins us. We'll talk some college football. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. Is that a little disturbed that I hear on the bump that you're blasting through?
Yeah, not bad, huh? Right. We roll pretty good on a morning, Friday morning, getting you ready for the weekend. Let me ask you this about Mississippi State, right? So here comes Mike Leach. KJ Costello was one of the highly recruited quarterbacks. Were you that blown away by this, or was, because I was, but were you blown away by what they were able to do against LSU?
I guess, yeah. I think where I come from on being surprised by that first week win for Mississippi State in Death Valley is, I mean, you know Mike Leach is going to come in. He's going to install his offense. You know they're going to pass more. You know you got a guy in KJ Costello who can give you the ball down the field, can give you those back shoulder throws, because that's what he was really good at when he was at Stanford. But just the fact that it clicked so quickly. I mean, for most teams going into their first game, there are a lot of things that aren't going to click. Now, that's not to say that they played perfect. Costello had some interceptions. They turned the ball over a few times. But just the fact that they were able to really go out there and precisely dice through that LSU defense, whether Derek Stingley was going to play or not, I think was really surprising there. For LSU, I think a lot of people figured, okay, they're going to have to reload a little bit. They're going to have to replace a lot of guys. There might be some bumps in the road along the way. But really just looked like a team, especially on defense, that just did not have the guys to keep up with that passing attack. I think that part in particular was definitely surprising.
This might be a difficult question to answer, given that there's sort of it's hard given the state of where we are right now. But when more film is on what this team does, do you think in 2020 this works in the SEC, or did they sort of surprise LSU, but they ain't going to surprise Georgia, Alabama, wherever else they're going to play?
Well, this is not the first time the air raid has been in the SEC. I mean, it's not the first time Mike Leach has installed the air raid in the SEC. I mean, they did that, at Kentucky back in the late 90s. So it can work in the SEC. I mean, Spurrier lit up offense or, defenses in the SEC with a passing attack of his own in the 90s. So it can absolutely work. It's just, do you have the speedy defense, the personnel to kind of keep everything in front of you, to get pressure on the quarterback? Washington State did it to a lot of defenses in the Pac-12, and then every time they played Washington, Chris Peterson and Jimmy Lake had an answer for it. Suddenly they can barely move the ball down the field. So I think even though they had a really good to start out with, it's not always going to be like that. They're going to encounter defenses that are a little bit more prepared for them. I think it will work beyond 2020. It's really just more about the opponent and the personnel.
So when you look at where that conference is, and we'll get to some other conferences in a bit, when you look at that conference, is obviously without the Pac-12 teams and the Big Ten teams in the top 25, there's a lot of loaded, ranked teams in the SEC. Mm. After the first week, did you feel like the conference is really that good with that many good teams?
That's just hard to say. I mean, again, you're talking about half of the teams, a little less than half the teams in college football, not even playing.
Right.
So I don't know that I don't know that there are going to be a lot of things that we can answer until November. I don't know that we're going to know really a lot about the landscape for another couple of months, just based on not only the staggered starts, but these guys largely haven't played spring football. Their preseason practices have either been disrupted or delayed, or their 2D jet charts are getting hit by contact tracing. I just think there's a lot that we don't know about these football teams right now and may not know for a while. So I think the usual suspects, Alabama certainly looks very good. I think if Georgia gets its quarterback situation figured out, they're going to be obviously a player. Florida, if the defense shores up a little bit, I think they're a player. But I think outside of Alabama and Clemson, you look at most of the teams in college football, SEC and beyond, there are a lot of teams that have a lot of questions to answer, and this is not really the type of year where you're going to have the luxury of time on your side to figure that out.
Yeah, how have you felt this early part of the season has gone? How has it looked? Have you seen more sloppy play, less disciplined play, given the circumstances of sort of a disruption in the normal routine that the coaches were expecting going into 2020 and didn't get?
Oh, yeah, there's been garbage football everywhere. And I'm not trying to come down on anybody.
Sure.
But like last week, what was UCF had four false starts in a row.
Yeah.
UCF is probably a top 10 team, and they're going out there and they're getting four false starts in a row. Kicking has been a disaster. Georgia Tech should never kick another football for the rest of the season. I mean, they've had more blocks than anybody. So, yeah, it's sloppy. It's and maybe some of those will get ironed out over the weeks, but this is the way I've considered it, because people still want to frame things in terms of who's going to make the playoff, should the playoff expand, how, and I'm just going, if you get to Saturday, that's a victory in and of itself.
Right.
This is not a lost season per se. But it is definitely not a normal season, so don't try to treat it like a normal season.
We've been doing that with other sports. We've been saying, look, it's time, you know, take the book and throw it out the window and try to come up with something. If you have to do what baseball did, which is expand the playoffs, or even NBA did, and you get a bubble but keep the playoff format pretty much the same, does college football have to work within those parameters? Like saying, look, we may have to go to eight teams because some teams are starting really, really late and may have a better advantage going into this than others. We may have to do things differently. We have to throw some tradition out a little bit here.
Well, Larry Scott tried to pitch that the other day to the Pac-12 commissioner, and tried to pitch that to the
I'm sure that went over playoff, really well. Is, yeah.
Yeah, that didn't really happen for him. Now, hey, look, I get asking. I mean, what are they going to
sure.
do? Say no. So, I mean, then you're right back to where you were to start with. So I totally get him asking. And personally, as someone who is totally fine with a 14 playoff, I think this would be the year to expand the field. But again, the more games you incorporate, the more of a non-zero chance you have that game wouldn't be able to, not necessarily be played, but would be postponed or would have to be worked around in some way. So then you've add even more of a logistical nightmare to what this has already become. Again, I know there's a money factor involved in this. I mean, you're talking about conferences that are taking major losses. Pac-12 was looking at taking out a $1 billion loan just to stay afloat for a lot of these universities. So I understand the money aspect of it. But if you're going to try to push through this in the fall, when we're getting ready to hit flu season here, and you're going to just try to get through it so that way you don't disrupt the schedule long term and you can sort of keep everything as it normally is from a calendar perspective, then you know what? Like I said, just get through it. If this makes things hard for the playoff committee to select four teams, then you know what? It makes it hard for them. Just live with it for a year. Get through it and get to 2021.
I can understand college football wanting these conferences, like, look, we'll play and we'll tighten up our schedule. Do we need the full bowl schedule at the end? I mean, if we get to December, is it really necessary to send a team to Boise or send a team to Shreveport at the end of the season?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Just, again, given the backdrop of what we're going up against, I don't love the travel part of it.
Right, me either, right.
You know, I mean, that I don't love the travel part of it, but that being said, if there's ever, because remember what bowl season is largely about now, it's largely about extra practices.
Yes.
It's about getting in an extra game. The prestigious part of it, other than like the Rose Bowl, has largely been already thrown out the window. So if you are a sub-500 team, which, you know, you're likely going to get a lot of those going into bowl season, again, spring practice has been nixed. Preseason practice has been sort of, you know, disrupted. Your regular season has been thrown for a loop. If you can get extra practices and an extra game in there, if you can get all that in there, I think that's a good thing for these programs. Who a lot of them will desperately need it. So I don't have a problem with it. It's just, again, how do you have teams then fly again all over the country, and then you got to try to isolate them maybe for a certain amount of time. I think that part becomes particularly difficult, but I don't have a problem with the quote-unquote quality of teams getting that opportunity.
All right, Ben, I can't let you go without asking an XFL question because, we, you know, you were our XFL guy back in when that was rolling along. 2022, what is this with The Rock? Is he really going to launch this?
He's going to try. And originally they were talking about 2021. I was like, I don't know why you think you're going to be able to do that.
Yeah.
So 2022 is still kind of an optimistic view, I think. When that thing folded earlier this year, I thought, okay, if someone comes in and buys this, you're really going to need to give it a couple more years. When you have these startup football leagues, XFL, AAF last year, I think what a lot of people don't always realize is that it's years behind the scene of making this thing happen, of coming up with the financing for it, coming up with everything you need for the teams, the coaching staff. That takes a little bit of time. So if they can do it in 2022, awesome. I think one of these days someone's going to get it right. It's just that when you have a startup league, you need everything to go right. It's like having a startup company.
Right,
you,
sure.
You need everything to go right in order for it to be successful. It doesn't take a lot to really throw it off or for it to not happen. So I think next time it comes around, it will certainly have a better chance of succeeding. There are a lot of good things about this last iteration of the XFL. If they can get launched in 2022, awesome. If it takes another year or so after that, I wouldn't blame them either.
Yeah, it's true. Good point. Ben Kurtzville, always good talking to you. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the college football slate, my friend.
All right. Take care, bud.
Again, on our Progressive guest line, Progressive with quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new home quote, Explorer, only at progressive.com. All right, real quick, the holidays are coming, and we've been telling you about homefields.com because, man, their gifts are fantastic. This was started by Ken Small back in the late 90s. He created three-dimensional art pieces of stadiums, and he actually flew drones over the stadiums to get a really good shot, and then when he hit his computer, he started separating the pictures and realized he could create a really cool art piece that had a three-dimensional effect to your favorite stadiums, whether they be football or baseball and even basketball arenas. Go to homefields.com and check them out. There is a whole bunch to choose from old stadiums to new stadiums, and they have a really cool effect. When I got mine in the mail at Three Rivers Stadium of the Steelers, I was really blown away by what this actually was. I saw it on my computer screen, but when I got it, I was like, this is really neat how it kind of blends in and it has that really cool 3D effect. Plus, it's lit, so it has a really nice effect on you in your man cave or, in Ron's case, a guest room. So if you stay at Ron's house, you're just going to have to put up with Dodger Stadium as a nightlight. Maybe that's your thing, maybe not your thing, but never know.
I don't care.
It doesn't care. That's whatever happens.
Like I said yesterday, it's not in the guest room right now.
Not yet. That's right.
As long as we keep rolling in the playoffs, it's going to be right next to the TV. Kind of some good luck charm, if you will.
Yeah, I put mine in my studio office, and the first Steeler game gets postponed for COVID.
The only thing is,
so
you're doing it wrong.
Come on, how come you're doing it right and I'm doing it wrong?
Yeah, I don't know. You're doing
so
it wrong.
That's your Dodgers are rolling along, and I don't get to play this weekend. But nevertheless, also on the back is a really cool description of the stadium, some history about the stadium. They make great gifts for you, somebody you love. They're just fantastic. Check them out at homefields.com. And look, you're not going to go there and find five or six of these things. There's like 100 of these. There's more than 100 of these where you can go through. It's 160 stadiums and arenas that are available right now, all lighted, and they come in three sizes too, 9, 13, and 19 inches. So they're beautiful pieces, and for this big sports fan in your life, or maybe even yourself, go to homefields.com. All right, when we come back, we will wrap up the show as we get ready for Jake Asman, coming up next on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Jake Asman Show coming up next as we continue along. Industrial strength free all spreads deep into rusted and frozen parts, freeing them with ease. The three-part formula delivers three times more lubricant. Takes less spray, less torque, and less time than any other penetrating oil. I need this kind of stuff because whenever something's jammed in my garage, I'm too weak anymore. I need something to help out with that. Rusty exhaust clamps and brackets, axle nut removers, corroded U-bolts. You got it with Freol. Deep penetrating oil. Give it a try. You'll never go back. Available at the shelves of AutoZone, O'Reilly, or Napa Auto Parts stores. Freol, deep penetrating oil. Should I root for South Carolina this weekend or should I pull for my kid's school?
Nope.
I should stay with the Gamecocks, right?
What's your alma mater?
South Carolina.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my school. Right there. They might take back your diploma if they find that you're rooting for the Gators.
That's true. I actually graduated from the University of New Hampshire, I should say. Okay, finished out my career there. But, South Carolina is true to my heart.
Yeah.
That's my first college football love.
Well, you know, right now they still will acknowledge that you're there, but if you start rooting for the Gators, they'll disavow you altogether.
That's true.
You don't want to be disowned by a parent.
I know.
That's not fun.
My son did not get tickets in the student lottery, so he's attending a kind of a student tailgate. And I was like, isn't that just as bad as going to the stadium?
They don't want you in the stadium,
but it's okay to go to a student tailgate. Why don't they just shove you in the stadium if you're just going to do that?
Right.
Oh, I apologize. Boss and the Gloss are coming up next as we continue on the Sports Map Radio Network. Have a good weekend, everyone.